Well, grab your worship guide. You can follow along. We are going to be wrapping up this series today that we've been talking about relationships and how those work and how those, what God wants to do through his word and how he gives us instruction to do that. And as we dive in today, I just want you to think about for a second the conversations that you have with yourself when it comes to your relationships. No matter what season you're in relationship status you have this morning, like what type of conversations are you having internally about relationships? We've talked a lot over the last month about mental health and the power of our thoughts and the words that we speak. And next week, we're starting a series called The Weight of Your Words and just the power that our words carry. But when you think about your dating life, about your marriage, what type of conversations are you having? If you're dating today, are you saying things like, I'm trusting God. I'm focusing on becoming because I know that God has someone for me, and it's just a matter of his timing for that to happen in my life. Is that what you're saying yourself? Or are you saying all the good ones are taken already? There is no one for me, right? God skipped that part. It's not there, right? What kind of conversation? If you're having marriage struggles, and maybe you're just saying, look, I know our marriage isn't perfect, but I know God is moving. And I know God is working. I know God isn't finished yet. I know that there's hope for what we're going through. Or are you saying things like this? No matter what I do, my marriage just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. It's never going to get better. Are you speaking encouraging, positive, faith-filled words into your marriage? Because it makes a difference. Or do your thoughts maybe sound even a little bit more like this? If someone really knew me, they wouldn't want me. After all that I've done, I'll never be blessed with a good marriage. There's no way that can happen for me. I'm just going to live, you know what, however I want right now, and it won't affect my marriage later. And you know what, my marriage, it's beyond repair. No matter what I do, it won't work. Or maybe you're thinking things like this. Everybody flirts every now and then. Everybody looks. I'm not doing anything wrong. Besides, she's not meeting my needs anyway. What kind of conversations are you having? I come from a divorced and broken family, and that's more likely what will happen for me. No one in my family has had good marriages. Or maybe you're saying things like this. I married the wrong person. I made the wrong decision. And divorce is my only option. You see, what you say, who you listen to, makes a tremendous difference. So I'm going to ask you that. Who and what will you listen to? And it's very simple. You see, God says that he speaks truth, that God's word speaks truth into our lives, into our relationships. And the devil, the only thing that he speaks is lies, that it's his native language. He there's no truth in him, right? John 8:44 says this, the devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. But come on, here's what John 8:32 says, that Jesus speaks the truth, and that when you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You get to choose what you will listen to. You get to choose what conversation and dialogue you're going to have. And over the last few weeks, we've talked about the blueprints for a successful marriage, for a marriage that's built to last, for a marriage that will make it to the end, to the finish line, that God in his word gives us the blueprints and Jesus instructs us. You're going to have a choice what you will build your life on. And I'm telling you, if you build your life and your marriage on me and my teachings, it will stand the test of time. But that's your choice. He can't force you to do that. And he says, you get the opportunity to build your relationship by becoming. And we talked about last week, the building blocks, right? The blueprints was week one, building blocks week two of what are those building blocks that you need to focus on to become who God has called you to be. And as you focus on becoming and embracing the values and teachings of Jesus, man, it will attract the right person. You'll become the right person and they will see that. It'll make a huge difference. And so this week, I want to encourage you, because here's the option you have. You can focus on the truth, building your life on Jesus, the blueprints, the building blocks of a successful marriage, or you can blow it up. Today, I've titled the message, come on, here it is. You ready? Might be my most creative title of the year. Don't light the dynamite. Because that's the reality, right? There are things that we can do. And today, specifically looking at lies that we can believe when we focus on the words of the enemy and not the voice of truth and Jesus and those building blocks, that there's lies that we can believe, lies that we can light, that are dynamite, that will blow up your marriage. And so today I want to look at these four lies and bring truth to them so that you don't light the dynamite, so that we can focus on building and becoming who God wants us to be. So are you ready? Come on, wake up. Are you ready, 9 a.m.? Come on. All right, here we go. Four lies that blow up your marriage. The first one is this. I can change him or her. That's a lie. And that's dynamite. I can change them, right? Someone once said, men marry women hoping they won't change. Women marry men hoping they will change. Inevitably, both are disappointed. Right? When you're dating, opposites attract. But when you get married, opposites attack, right? It's just the truth of what it is, right? Mr. Perfectly Flexible, goes with the flow. I love that about him. He never picks up after himself. He's so flexible, but he doesn't care about any of those things, right? Miss Strong and Confident. I love how strong and confident she is. Man, it's so attractive in her. Becomes Mrs. Controlling and Nagging. I wish he'd make me priority. I wish her life didn't revolve around our kids. I wish he wouldn't drink so much. I wish that she could control her temper, right? There's things in every relationship that we want to change. There's things about Jess that I would change if I could. There's many things about me that she would change if she could. But the reality is that she can't change me and I can't change her. And that's not what God has called us to do. Something's got to change for many of us in our relationships and in our marriages. But listen to me. You can't change your spouse, but God can. But God can change them. So there's two ways that we can focus our prayers, because if God can do it, right, then it's not, if I can't do it, but God can, right, should I be spending the time thinking about how to get them to change and how to motivate or manipulate and get them to become who I want them to be? Or should I actually pray to the one who can actually do something about it? Because prayer is powerful, it's effective, it makes a huge difference in our lives. So two ways to pray, first of all, is you can pray for God to change them. You can begin to pray for that. James, again, 5:16, we just talked about this. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Jess is very devoted in her personal time to Jesus. She gets up earlier before everybody else because that's what moms have to do if they want to have quiet time, right, with Jesus. And so she gets up and for before we got married and for our entire marriage now, almost 17 years, she does prayer journals. And so she has journals upon journals upon journals boxed away that she has written every morning her prayers out. And she prays. And I can remember when we first got married, the temptation to want to look into her prayer journal. Like, what's she praying about? You know? What's she praying about me? Is she praying for God to change me? And then the more I thought about it, the more I was like, I don't even want to know. I'm going to let God do that, right? I don't even want to know what she's praying about me. But she was so committed and still is to just praying for our marriage, praying for me, praying for our family, right? She's just very committed in that because she understands the power of prayer to change those things that need to be changed. Because here's also the truth about prayer is that prayer may or may not change your spouse, but it always changes you. It'll change you. Come on, if you are sincerely praying, because here's what Jesus says to do, right? Love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. And I'm not saying your spouse is your enemy, right? But this is the instruction that God gives. Pray for these people. Pray for God to move. Pray for these things to happen. But it's not just about the outcome of your prayer. Prayer always changes you. And think about this. It's really hard to be angry and mad at somebody you're sincerely praying for. It changes you. It changes how you're thinking about them. Changes how you're viewing the situation. Pray for God to change them. The second way you can pray is you need to pray for God to change you. This is the prayer that we probably don't want to pray that much. God, you need to do your work in me. God, I pray that you would change me. And as we've been talking about this entire series, if there's change that you want to see in your spouse, be the change that you want to see. Start living that out. You want them to be more loving and caring and intentional. Be more loving, caring, and intentional. You want them to prioritize things differently. You start to begin to prioritize things differently. Be the change you want to see and say, God, I pray for you to change me, change my perspective, change my approach, change my heart. As Psalm 139 says, search me, God, know my heart. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting, to eternal things, to things that are important and matter, right? Be the change you want to see. And I get this, right? It takes two, no doubt, but it always starts with you. Every marriage takes two, but it always begins with you. And when it doesn't seem like it's working, that's when you know, right? You got to keep praying. Marriage isn't a sprint. Come on, it's a marathon. We want to be in it to last. And so when you feel like, man, I just don't know. I've been praying. It's just not working. You keep praying. I am convinced and I believe without a doubt that I am a better man, husband, and pastor because of those prayer journals. Because Jess has been faithfully committed to praying for me to become who God wants me to be, who she needs me to be, who my kids need me to be. She's been faithful in those prayers. And come on, prayer works. Prayer is powerful. It will always change you. And when we're faithful to it and we're willing to be the change that we want to see, then it'll begin to change our spouse as well. That's the first stick of dynamite. That's the lie that you don't want to light, that you don't want to believe, that I can change him or her. No, you can't. Quit trying to do that. Allow God to do that. Do what you can do. Be who God's called you to be. Live out those principles and values and be faithful to praying for them and for God to change you. It's the first lie you can't light. The second one is this, is that a good marriage is always 50-50. This is the lie that our culture loves to talk about, right? A good marriage is 50-50, right? It's, come on, even Steven. Anybody else? It's even Stevens. Hey, you do for me, I do for you. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. This is the way, right? And it sounds good. It even seems right, but it's incredibly dangerous when it comes to building your marriage on a biblical foundation. And we've talked about this throughout the series, but listen, a half-hearted effort plus half-hearted commitment equals wholehearted disappointment. Because when it's 50-50, right, we start to give half effort. Well, I'm waiting for them to do their part. I'm waiting for them to do their share. Well, I'm not going to be committed until they're committed, and we're going to become disappointed. And if you believe marriage is always 50-50, again, we start to keep score. And when you keep score, and the moment you begin to keep score, you both lose. There's no win. It's not 50-50 when it comes to the biblical view of marriage, when it comes to building our life on the with the right blueprints, with the right building blocks. Our marriages in that way, we approach it totally differently. It's 100-100. I'm all in, they're all in. There's no you owe me's. There's no I owe you. There's none of that. It's just I'm 100% in. In Ephesians, Paul speaks specifically to marriage in chapter 5, and he tells the wives, he says, you are to submit to your husbands. But then he goes on and says, and husbands, you are to love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And so when a wife is willing to submit to her husband as the leader of their family, as the leader of their marriage, and listen, she can't submit to a leader if you're not being one. And when you're committed to being who God has called you to be, husband, then she, I promise you, when you're living out these values, right? When you're leading the way for your family, that's why worship, family worship is not so important. Dads, you should be saying, hey, we're going, kids. We're leading the way. You got to come to men's breakfast. We're going to talk about how the church needs the men of God to lead the way God has called us to lead. And it starts in your home. It starts first with your marriage. It starts second with your kids, that you become the lead. And I get it. You go, I don't even know how to do that. Well, that's why you got to become a part of the men's ministry. Because I'm going to make you rich where you're poor. I'm going to show you how to lead in your family. I'm going to show you. It's not complicated. It's not hard. It just takes intentionality. And as you build confidence in your own relationship with God and who he's called you to be, that confidence will show up in your marriage. It'll show up with your kids. And I promise you, men, when you start leading that way, leading spiritually, your wife will willingly submit. And can I get an amen from the wives? Right? If your husband's leading the way, and submission is not saying you don't have a voice, that you just do whatever. When your husband is loving you as Christ loved the church, when your husband is laying aside his own desires and wants to make sure that yours are met first, that is the recipe for a marriage that's built to last. But it's not 50-50. It's 100-100. Listen, marriage is a race to the back of the line. It's always saying, hey, you go first. The only competition that we're in is a submission competition. What can I do for you should be the question we ask the most. What can I do to help should be something that we're saying all the time to each other. What can I do for you today? How can I help you? What do you have on your plate? How can I make sure that that's going to go well for you? And when you do this, when both people come into the relationship that way, when both people give 100%, think about what could happen. Think about how the dynamics of your relationship could change, but also think about what will happen if you don't. And I get it. You're going, well, they're not going to do that. It doesn't matter what they do, right? We already talked about that lie. You can't change them, but who can you change? You. Be the change you want to see. Start submitting, start leading, start loving in that way. It'll make a tremendous difference in your life. The first lie, dynamite that we don't want to light, it'll blow it up, that you think you can change him or her. That's not where your focus should be. The second, marriage is 50-50. No, it's not. It's 100-100. The third one is this, is this one little thing isn't a big thing. Unfortunately, in a church our size, there's been multiple times I've sat down with couples who are at the end. Usually that's the way it goes. People don't ask for help until they've already lit a bunch of dynamite, right? It's blown up. It's very broken. And that's when they reach out. And that's when oftentimes it can be where it's difficult to bring people together when they've been so far apart. But every time I've sat down with them, well, what happened? You know, you used to be this way, now you're this way. How did you grow so far apart? It wasn't one big thing. And sometimes it's a big thing, an affair or something like that. But that big thing always starts as a little thing. And that's what we believe. We believe this lie. It's dynamite. It is a dangerous one that we're holding this thing. It's just one little thing. It's not going to be a big thing. Listen, Sin is sin, no matter what you want to say. And sin violates God's will, and with sin carries consequences. You will reap what you sow. There's just no way around that. That is God's law. That is the way that it works. And sin should always bother us. And the sin that should always bother us the most is our own. It's like the story we find in Songs of Songs, and I hope you had an amazing Valentine's Day this past week, but this book is a romantic book. It's that Solomon writes about his love story, and he says in this story, there's these little foxes that spoil the vineyard, like little sins can spoil the soul. And there's this love story between Solomon and the Shulamite woman. And this is what he says in chapter 2, verse 15. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. And so he says the vineyard's in bloom, right? That it is, it's fruitful, that the relationship is strong and blessed. And I pray that all of our relationships and marriages start this way. It's strong. It's blessed. We're committed. We're excited. We're in love with each other. And then he says, and catch for us these foxes that attack, that want to eat the fruit, that burrow beneath the soil and destroy the root system, the foundation of the marriage. Little problems, secret sins that lead eventually to uncontrolled desires. It's the little things, come on, that become the big things. And when we start believing this, it's just one little thing. This isn't a big thing. It is. It's a little thing that'll eventually become a big thing. It's just a few small problems that we leave unchecked, that we leave unconfessed, that continue to grow, that continue to compound. It's little problems, secret sins that, again, lead to uncontrolled desires in our life. It's lustful thoughts. It's critical spirits. It's secret spending. It's secret addictions. It's looking up that old flame on Facebook. Come on, listen to me. You're playing with dynamite. You're playing with something that has the potential to blow up your relationship. We don't want to light the dynamite, right? We want to diffuse those things. And I understand this because in our culture, we think, our world says you can compartmentalize your life, right? It's your marriage here, your own time here, your kids over here, and we can compartmentalize our lives into these little sections that when we go into that section, we're all good, but then we move out of that section and we can do whatever we want, and that the ones that they don't affect each other, that this part of my life doesn't affect this part of my life, it all affects your life. That's why God said, Jesus gave the command that you are to love him with what? All of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength, right? That we are to go all in with him. That we can't compartmentalize our lives and go, well, on Sundays, man, I'll serve God and I'll worship and I'll do that. But on Monday through Saturday, I'll do what I want. I can still go to the bar with my girlfriends. It's not that big of a deal. I can still do this with my guy friend. It's not, I can separate these things. You cannot compartmentalize your life. Those little things become big things that will blow up your marriage. Pastor, I think you're overdoing it a bit. I'm managing my sin just fine. I've been doing it for years and it's never bled over. It's never impacted my life. Listen, what's done in the dark will always come to the light. And you don't even understand all the implications of what you're doing right now. Because listen, you don't manage sin. You confess it. You repent. You turn from it. You don't keep playing with it. It's dynamite that will blow up your marriage. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. We say this all the time. You confess your sins to God for forgiveness. You confess your sins to each other to find freedom, to break free from that sin. This is what James says. So I got to ask you, men, who in your life can call you on your sin? Who can point it out to you and go, man, that's not right. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be having those conversations. You shouldn't be drinking that much. You shouldn't be spending this much time away from your family. You shouldn't be doing that when you're on those business trips. That's not okay. Where's your commitment lie, right? Who's in your life that can call you on your sin? And who can you confess your sin to? Who do you go to say, I'm struggling, I need help, will you pray for me? That's why it's so important that we get in a group and we get on a team and that we invite those types of relationship into our life. I said this last week, every marriage needs encouragement and accountability. Everyone needs it. So who are you inviting in to be able to call you on your sin? Because we all need it. We all have blind spots. We all have areas in our life that we need support, that we need help. The band's coming and we're going to begin to close out as we look at the last lie here. And again, you think you can change him or her, you can't, but God can. So let's focus on prayer and on becoming and being what we want, right? A good marriage is never 50-50. It's 100-100. Little things are big things. And that one little thing, man, it's dynamite. And it can blow it up. And the last lie that the enemy, I think, probably speaks the loudest is that there's no hope for your marriage. I realize today that some of you are in a very rough spot when it comes to your marriage. And I don't know all the ins and outs, but I know. I know that it's rough. And in no way do I want to minimize or belittle the challenges that you're facing. Some of you, you're married to an addict and you can't change them. Some of you, you've been betrayed. Trust has been lost. It's been broken. Some of you even have suffered abuse, whether that be emotionally or verbally, physically. It's just been very difficult. And again, maybe the loudest lie that the enemy keeps speaking to you is that there's just no hope because the dynamite, it was already lit. It's blown up. It's in pieces and it can't be put back together. This lie is easy to believe because the reality is maybe there's some truth to it. Because it does take two people to restore a broken marriage. And as you've learned, you can't control your spouse. Can't change them. You can't make them want what you want. It takes two, no doubt. But remember, it always starts with you. And with God, no matter what may be going on, there's always hope. Without God, I don't know. If you're following the wrong blueprint, probably right. Maybe there isn't hope. If you're not using the right building blocks to build your marriage, maybe you're right. Maybe it won't last because that's up to you. I can't force you. God can't force you to follow his blueprint. He can't force you to pray for them. He can't force you to be the change you want to see. He can't force you to love despite what's going on. He can't make you do anything. That's totally up to you. And so for some of you, right, I'm just going to shoot straight with you today that when you go, there's no hope for my marriage, you're right if you're not willing to bring God into the process. You're right. There is no hope. Because you can't change them. They can't change you. You can't fix what was broken. But can I tell you something? Matthew 19:26, the disciples asked Jesus, they go, well, how is this ever going to happen? They were speaking specifically to certain people getting into heaven. And Jesus said, look, what seems impossible to the world is possible with God. That with God, come on, All things are possible. Everybody say that with me. All things. Your thing. Your thing, man. Your thing, sir. It's possible. Well, no, it's not for me. With God, come on. All things are possible. And I've seen marriages that if I was being honest from an outsider looking in, I go, that thing's blown up. The pieces are scattered. The dynamite has been lit. It's too late. That from an outsider's perspective, that's what you honestly would have thought. But I've seen God take those pieces, build a beautiful mosaic of reconciliation and redemption and healing, to where today those people are standing on stages like this, teaching other couples, hey, learn from me. Don't light that dynamite. But man, if it's already blown up, can I tell you today, if God did it for us, he can do it for you. He can do it for you. But you got to believe it. You got to put your hope back in God and believe with him. There's always hope. So you say, hey, well, where do I go from here? First, you need to identify some lies that maybe you've been believing that we said at the beginning. You got to begin to speak a different narrative into your own life and into your relationship and into your marriage. You got to begin to speak the truth. And we're going to talk more in our next series about the weight and the power of our words and the difference that they make. But come on, we got to start speaking life and the truth of God's word into our marriages. Maybe you are married and you need to sit down with your spouse. You need to have an honest conversation about where you're at. And I want to challenge every couple to do this after this series, going, hey, and given what we've heard and what we've learned, and where would you say we're at? Where are we starting from today? Because you got to know where you are, right, to get to where you want to be. And have an honest conversation. Be completely honest with each other and say, hey, this is where I know my expectations are not being met, and this is where I know that I'm struggling to be who God wants me to be and who he's called me to be. You need to start with that conversation, and you got to possibly commit to get help. I tell people, you guys got to meet Jess and I's counselor, Peter. And sorry, Peter's taken. You know, you can't have Peter. Peter's amazing. But Jess and I have been meeting with Peter for 4 years, not because we had a bad marriage, not because it was blown up and we needed someone to help us put the pieces back together. We met with Peter not because we had a bad marriage, because we want a better one. Right? If I'm going to be committed for till death do us part, if I'm in with her for the rest of my life, I want that to be as good as possible. Amen? I want us to get along as good as possible. I want us to love each other as good as possible. And I know there's so many things in me that I still got to work on and that I got to change. And I have someone who's helping me do that. Some of you need to commit to get help too. There's always hope with God. The devil's a liar. Don't listen to him. A God-honoring marriage is possible. A God-honoring marriage is not a fairy tale, friends. It's a choice. It's a commitment. But if you'll put Jesus at the center of your own life, if you'll put Jesus at the center of your marriage, if you'll begin to build your life and marriage on him, with him, all things are possible. But it takes great intentionality. It's not just going to happen. It's not going to happen because you sat through a few services about marriage together. It's going to happen because you make a commitment to put the hard work in, to put the time in that's needed with the right set of blueprints, with the right building blocks, being willing to embrace the truth, to diffuse the dynamite, not to light it. And if you'll do those things, Jesus makes a promise to you. First of all, that your life will last. That when it comes to the storms and the difficulties, you will be standing strong in the midst of those things, and you will have a marriage that is built to last, that will make it to the end, that someday you can look at your grandkids and maybe even your great-grandkids and say, there were certainly seasons that were difficult, but you know what? We followed the right blueprint. We built our life on the right foundation. We chose Jesus. We put him first. We made him a priority. Man, we were involved in our church. We were in a group. We surrounded ourselves with the right people. And today, we are here where we are because of what Jesus did in our life. Come on, that's what I want. Do you want that? Don't you want to get to the end and be able to look back and tell your kids, this is how we do it. We weren't perfect. We made our mistakes, but hey, here we are today. Not because of us, but because we've built our lives and our marriage on the firm foundation. The devil will tell you that you can't, and it won't. But come on, he's a liar. You know the truth, that a life built on Jesus will life. A marriage built on Jesus will last. Truth will set you free. Free to be who God has created you. He created you. Who he has made you. Who he has called you to be. There's hope for you. There's hope for your marriage. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes for just a second. Listen, you were made by God to know him, to be known by him. And as I just said, there is no way that you can do, that you can be who God has called you to be, to do what he's called you to do without him. With him, anything is possible. Without him, you can do nothing. Jesus said in John 15 that he's the vine, you're the branch, and if you willingly choose to disconnect or to never connect to him, that without him, you can't do it. You won't make it. It's impossible. But with him, come on, connected to him, him being the life source, that anything is possible. But that's a choice that you have to make. Jesus laid it out. He said, this is how you follow me. This is how you build your life on me. These are the teachings that you need to embrace and apply and live out in your life. And if you'll do these things, it doesn't promise that you'll have a easy, breezy life, but he promises that he'll be with you, that you'll be building it together. And what you build with God at the center will stand the test of time. It'll make it to the end. So today, if you were to be very honest about the foundation of your life, to say, is it Jesus? Is my life being built on Jesus? Am I really following Jesus? Am I really committed to his teachings? Am I living out these truths in my life? Is my marriage being built on this? As a husband, as a wife, as a father and a mother, are these really the things that we're committing our time to, that we're prioritizing, that we're keeping at the center of our life? And if you were to say that's not true today, and that you need to repent from sin, again, not manage it, turn from it, confess it, receive forgiveness, commit to get help. I don't know where you're at today, but the salvation of God, the love of God, the forgiveness, the mercy of God is available to you if you're willing to turn to it, to embrace it, to receive it and accept it. So today, if you were just be honest, that there's sin in your life, there's junk in your heart, that you're following your own plan, you're living your own way, you've compartmentalized your life and you're saying, listen, I need to surrender. I need to go all in. I want all that God has for me today. He wants to meet you right where you are. But as a sign of surrender this morning, that's the commitment that you know you need to make and that you want to make before God, I'd love to pray with you. But as a sign of surrender today, say, hey, Kyle, that's me. And I'm not where I need to be. I want to get closer to God. I want to surrender all to him. If that's where you're at right now, just slip up your hand. Say, Kyle, would you pray for me? I need that. I see you, sir. Thank you. I see you, ma'am. Thank you. I see you over here. Thank you. I see you right here. Thank you. Anyone else? That's me. God will meet you right where you are today. If you're online, I know I can't see you, but God sees you. Just tell him right now. Say, God, that's me. I want to surrender to you. anyone else. Say, Kyle, it's me. Amen. Church family, would you pray this? And if you mean this today, just repeat this prayer of faith with me today. Say, dear Jesus, today I invite you in. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died for me so I can live for you. I surrender all that I am to you and your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Bible says all of heaven is rejoicing with those who made that decision today. We rejoice with you. We'd love to come alongside you. We believe the greatest adventure you can ever live is one that's palms up, fully surrendered to Jesus. And we'd love to be a guide for you on your adventure to pursue God and to follow Jesus and his plan for your life. And so if you wouldn't mind just grabbing that connect card in the seat back and filling that out, you can indicate what commitment you're making today. And we would, again, be honored just to connect with you and to follow up with you. We're not going to spam mail you with anything, nothing like that, but we just want to connect with you. And in fact, out in the lobby, there's a room called Next Steps, and just kind of helps give you what your next step would be. We have a free book that's very simple to read that just kind of lays out the steps that you need to take to begin to pursue your adventure with Jesus today. And there'd be some people there to pray with you if you needed it. But we'd love the chance to connect with you. And again, if you're new today, welcome home. We're so glad you came to church this morning and a part of our family here at Adventure Church. We really believe that. We're a family here. There's a place for you to belong, and we'd love to connect with you as well. So make sure you stop by the Welcome Center, get a free gift from us today as a way of saying thanks for being here with us today. I'm going to invite everyone to stand, and we're going to sing this song one last time. And again, I know the temptation is to kind of rush out, get where you need to be, but just give us another 3 minutes this morning where we're just going to, again, surrender to the Holy Spirit. That's it. And for some of you, it's just a matter of saying, God, I trust you today. You're my Savior. You died for me so I can live for you. And God, that's the commitment I'm making today, but I need to trust you with some stuff. I need to trust that you're going to complete the change that you need to make in me. God, I'm going to trust that as I focus on you and becoming and praying for them, God, that you're going to deal with them in the way that you need to deal with my spouse. God, I'm going to let you handle that. I'm just going to surrender this to you. I'm going to trust you with this situation. I'm going to place it in your hands. And our prayer partners are going to be available again in the back of the room. And maybe for some of you today, I just really felt at the beginning of service as I was praying in my office before coming out that maybe as a couple today, you just need to go back and just say, hey, would you pray for us? We just need God's help. We need God to move and work in our life. And this is our first step of just acknowledging where we are. And we're just asking that you would pray that God would give us the strength to stay in this, to stay committed, and to become who he's called us to be. And so maybe you're here alone, and your spouse isn't here, they're at home, or maybe it's your kids and their relationships and their marriages, but whatever it is, man, there's power in prayer. Take advantage of that, okay? Take advantage, just a moment. Don't rush out of here. Go get prayer. Go believe for God to move on your behalf. And as we worship and surrender to him once again, God, my life is yours. My marriage is yours. My kids, they're yours, God. I trust you. You are trustworthy, and you're worthy of my worship. Amen. Father, thank you that we can trust you, that your word is solid, that it's true. And God, that you're faithful to your promises. They are yes and amen. So today, God, we focus on what we can focus on. We worship you. We trust you. We surrender to you. In Jesus' name.